Good morning. It's April 30th and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. In a bold declaration, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has called the escalating violence against women a national crisis. This comes in the wake of reports that 26 women have been allegedly murdered by men in just the first 4 months of 2023, sparking massive protests across the nation. Demonstrators are clamouring for tougher laws to combat gender-related violence, highlighting a growing concern that has brought thousands to the streets in cities all over Australia. Despite some progress in reducing overall violence, such as the notable decrease in homicide rates since the implementation of gun control laws, the specific issue of violence against women remains persistent. Efforts to curb this violence, including interventions like alcohol restrictions, have shown some success in reducing domestic violence incidents. However, strategies directly targeting violence against women have struggled to make a significant impact. Alarmingly, reports of domestic violence and sexual assault have increased, suggesting a higher willingness among victims to come forward. The government is responding with plans to hold a special meeting aimed at developing preventative measures against male violence towards women. This meeting will focus on areas such as online harms and the sharing of information about high-risk perpetrators. Amidst this, Prime Minister Albanese's approach to the protests and a controversial incident at a domestic violence rally have ignited debates about his leadership and strategy in addressing this urgent issue. Critics have voiced concerns, while experts emphasise the need for a comprehensive approach that addresses alcohol abuse, gambling, and children's exposure to harmful content. As the National Cabinet prepares to convene for an urgent meeting on prevention strategies, the spotlight is on the need for immediate and effective action. The community's outcry and the protests underscore the critical demand for change, with advocates and protesters hopeful for meaningful progress. With the government's acknowledgement of the crisis and the push for a coordinated response, there's a cautious optimism that this could mark a turning point in the fight against gender-based violence in Australia. In a heartbreaking turn of events, a community in Lake Macquarie, NSW, is grappling with a devastating tragedy. A 17-year-old girl has been charged with the murder of her 10-year-old sister, following an alleged stabbing at their home. This incident, occurring on Monday, has sent shockwaves through the community as emergency responders' efforts to save the young girl proved futile. The teenager has been arrested and is facing charges of domestic violence murder. Following her arrest, she has been refused bail and is expected to appear before a children's court on Tuesday. This tragic event marks the third fatal stabbing in NSW in just a span of 4 days, with previous incidents reported in Narromine and Quakers Hill. As the homicide squad takes the lead in investigating this harrowing case, the community mourns not just the loss of a young life, but also the unsettling surge of violence in their midst. Neighbours and local residents have expressed their shock and sorrow, describing the neighbourhood as typically quiet and the situation as absolutely horrible. This series of violent events has left the community in a state of disbelief and mourning as they struggle to come to terms with the gravity of the loss. In a groundbreaking move, the Australian government, together with the Queensland State Labor Government, has announced a nearly $1 billion investment in quantum computing technology, signalling a major leap towards technological advancement and economic growth. This ambitious project, led by Sequantum, is not just about building a powerful quantum computer. It's about setting the stage for Australia to become a global powerhouse in the emerging field of quantum technology. The collaboration between the federal and state governments underscores a significant commitment to innovation, with the project expected to create 400 new jobs directly. But the ripple effects are even more promising, with forecasts suggesting an additional $48 billion in GDP and 240,000 jobs by 2040. This initiative is a testament to the potential of quantum computing to revolutionise industries and economies. At the heart of this venture are PsiQuantum's co-founders, Australian professors Jeremy O'Brien, and Terry Rudolph. Their decision to establish the Asia-Pacific headquarters in Brisbane with this government funding not only brings the technology closer to home, but also marks a strategic move towards making Australia a nexus for quantum research and development. Industry Minister Ed Husic has been vocal about the transformative potential of this initiative, emphasising Australia's ambition to lead the quantum technology sector globally. The government's investment in PsiQuantum is a clear signal of its belief in the country's ability to contribute significantly to this cutting-edge field. With a target to develop a fault-tolerant quantum computer by 2026 or 2027, PsiQuantum's project is a bold step towards establishing a sustainable quantum ecosystem in Australia. This effort is poised to position the country not just as a participant, but as a leader in the global quantum technology arena, promising substantial economic and technological benefits for the future. In a revealing look at the state of gender and cultural representation in the Australian visual arts sector, the latest Countess report uncovers a stagnation, if not a regression, in the progress toward equality. This comprehensive national study, now in its third iteration, shines a light on the continuous underrepresentation of women and Indigenous artists across key success indicators in the arts world. Since the last report in 2018, there's been little to no improvement in the representation of women artists in critical areas such as art prizes, funding decisions, acquisitions, and exhibitions. These elements are pivotal for the recognition and career advancement of artists. While the National Gallery of Australia has shown some strides in acquiring and exhibiting works by women artists, the broader landscape tells a story of sluggish, if any, progress. The study also casts a spotlight on the underrepresentation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, underscoring a broader issue of inclusivity within the sector. Despite some institutions making headway, the overall findings of the 2022 study paint a picture of disappointment, suggesting that the pandemic may have led galleries to adopt a more conservative approach, potentially impacting the visibility and support of diverse artists. Backed by Creative Australia, the Sheila Foundation, the Copyright Agency, and the National Association for the Visual Arts, the Countess Report is more than just a collection of statistics. It's a call to action for the Australian visual arts community. The report urges galleries, institutions, and the broader arts sector to ramp up their efforts in promoting and supporting women and Indigenous artists, highlighting the need for a more equitable and inclusive art world in Australia. In a pressing call to action, criminologist Michael Salter has challenged Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to confront the pressing issues of alcohol, gambling, and children's exposure to pornography as pivotal strategies in the fight against violence towards women. This comes at a critical time as the National Cabinet gears up for an urgent meeting dedicated to formulating preventative measures against such violence, spotlighting the dire need for comprehensive strategies that include tackling online harms and closely monitoring high-risk perpetrators. The backdrop of this urgent call is a landscape where disputes between political figures and advocates have cast shadows over the government's commitment and capability to effectively address these deeply rooted societal issues. Salter's emphasis on practical policy opportunities underscores the significant impact of alcohol, pornography, and gambling on exacerbating men's violence towards women. This sentiment is echoed by other experts and the Domestic, Family, and Sexual Violence Commissioner, who collectively stressed the necessity for an unwavering commitment from all leaders to avert further tragic outcomes. Despite the government's substantial $2.3 billion investment into a decade-long plan aimed at combating violence against women, there's a strong consensus among advocates for the need of increased funding dedicated to prevention programs and crisis services. The call to action doesn't just stop at financial investment. There's a pressing demand for a sustained and escalating response that transcends the temporary spikes of public outrage, aiming for tangible, long-lasting change. The narrative also draws attention to the conspicuous absence of opposition leader Peter Dutton in these discussions, hinting at the critical need for bipartisan support in crafting and implementing effective solutions. The overarching message is clear. The government's efforts must move beyond mere declarations of intent and demonstrate a genuine, actionable commitment to eradicating violence against women. This has been your Daily Brief in Australian News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via our email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.